Some claim that the age of a true gentleman is far behind us, but here at 284 Media, we disagree. He may appear in different guises today, but the values and ideals that make him a gent still stand. Gentlemen, aspiring gentlemen, and of course, the partners that hold us down, I'm Ron Grant. Welcome to a brand new season of The Art of a Distinguished Gentleman, a show poised to help guide modern-day men into 21st century distinguished gentlemen. Please, don't get worried. It's not always about suits and bow ties, but raw, real-life lessons that translate to grounded, community-minded, well-rounded men. Thank you for taking this journey with me. Now, last season, you heard from some of the most talented young professionals across our territory, ranging from different disciplines. But this season, it's no different. From East End to West End, Virgin Gora to Anigara, we will again be joined by the territory's finest distinguished gentlemen. Today's guest hails all the way from musical city, Virgin Gora, a musical genius that literally pours his heart and soul into every note he sings and plays, whether it's soca, reggae, rock and roll, or playing alongside vibe, his homegrown talent and one of the most sought across the region. His talent has been passed from generation to generation, and today we discuss his roots, the art of competition, music production and engineering, the art of writing and performing. Ladies and gentlemen, the funky and fresh himself, distinguished gentleman, the one and only out of Musical City, our very own, Marcus Mart. It's a conversation you really don't want to miss. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Viewers, welcome back. You're watching The Art of a Distinguished Gentleman, the one and only Marcus Mart, the man himself.
Hey,
welcome
up,
to
man?
The Art of a Distinguished Gentleman.
Nice to be here.
Absolutely. Cheers.
Yeah.
Musical City, Virgin Gora.
Mm-hmm.
Born and raised. Tell me about that childhood of being in Virgin Gora, in that environment with so much musical influence. What was that like?
Well, first of all, Virgin Gora is a smaller territory, so there's a little feeling of being underdog. Like, you got to push harder to get recognized because it's a small island. But a lot of good influences, a lot of good music, a lot of good musicians. Been a really inspiring time being a young person in the 70s, 80s, growing up in Virgin Gora. And I was, my love stays in Virgin Gora because of how the music molded my whole life there, from there forward.
Awesome. Your dad, the one and only Marcus Mart, was a musician. And you pretty much, like your other siblings, followed in his footsteps. Talk to me about your relationship with your dad and the level of influence that he had on your life.
My dad was musician occupation. That was his occupation, nothing else.
Okay.
Seeing that every day, the band room being there, you know, I was really amazed of the way he was able to manage us, his four kids, doing music alone and loving music, and seeing that he was living on it gave me inspiration to, hey, I could do that. Mm-hmm. That was my, since being having the talent already. So, and it made it a realistic goal for me, seeing that he was doing it for a living. So.
It was a realistic goal for you, mm-hmm. and you had a great example. Was it ever an unrealistic goal for anybody else around you? Did it seem strange that you wanted to do music?
It was never accepted as a real job. The teachers asked you what you want to do for a living. If you say music, you're going to say pick something else. So. It wasn't a realistic thing. As a matter of fact, there wasn't much musicians doing that for a living. Even up to today, there's not really much that does that alone for a living.
Professionally,
so,
right?
Yeah. Okay. So it's a challenge to decide to do that for a living, but my dad made it seem easy and possible.
Are there any lessons that you learned from him that you take with you today?
Yeah, the discipline that he had in getting it right, you know, wanting to do it correctly, get the music right to the people. Don't cheat the art. You know, you do your homework. I really learned that the only way to get things done is the hard way. There ain't no easy shortcut way. The shortcut way doesn't get you through the right way. The hard way is usually the most correct way and the most rewarding way, actually.
Okay.
So, some of the lessons I learned from him.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Now, you started playing professionally. at age 14, literally running behind your dad, in a sense. Talk to me about having begun your professional career at such a young age, and you also missed out on some really cool stuff. Right. Tell me about that.
Okay, so my dad always knew that I was a musician, but he never wanted to bring me in professionally and distract my education. But there was a time when I ran up a phone bill, and it was like $200, and they called my little girlfriend and stuff. And he's decided the only way I'm going to be able to pay this bill off is to work and earn it. So that was a good excuse for him to have me be his bass man. And I took it seriously. I did my homework. I made sure I learned the songs properly. I wanted to blend in. I didn't want to be just there because I was dad's son. Okay. So, you know, I made sure that I was up to level with the other musicians there. Getting comfortable and stuff. 2 years later, now I'm 16 and we have our graduation and our prom.
High school graduation, yeah, high school prom.
High school prom. And my dad had got an opportunity to go to Nashville with the band. And he told me, I know you have your prom coming up, but I got this great opportunity, but it's your decision. For me, that was a no-brainer. First time going on the road. And I think that kind of, that was the fourth move that cemented that this was going to be my profession for the rest of my life.
Wow. And you had no problems missing your prom?
No, I didn't. No.
You didn't feel no type of way?
Music was always my passion. Okay. So that always was fourth. So even in school, we all found time to go in the music room and get our groove on. So music was always the passion. Always.
That's what's up. Yeah. Now, you spoke about playing the keyboard. What instruments, do you play?
Okay, I play keyboards, bass, drums, guitar. Keyboard is actually the last instrument I learned to play.
Okay.
But it looked like the instrument that was in demand at the time.
Right.
And it looked like the instrument that would carry me anywhere, in studio, whatever. It looked like it would take me for the drums. The drum machine was getting popular. So I thought the drums would have been next thing. I moved on to keyboards. I kept the drum talent, but the keyboard is what I decided to go further with. That's what it ended up to be today, well, up to now.
Being so versed musically, my dad himself is actually a musician, and growing up, he has just about all the instruments, from a harp to harmonica, saxophone, bass guitar, box guitar, banjo, everything. It became a part of our culture at the house. Caroling at Christmas time, church as well. Tell me about how you have been able to pass that love for music on to your children, or maybe not, or maybe they're not interested in it. But what has the relationship been in your household musically and for the love of music?
Okay, so my dad never really taught me to play music. It was just around.
Okay.
So I don't teach kids, but I would want them to be interested first.
Okay.
Before, I have my studio set up at home all the time, so my kids are always hanging me, playing music, and if they gravitate to it, well, I invite them in. So I, from parenting from before and us now, I find it to, allow the kids to, whatever they want to do, you can more encourage them than discourage, like how our parents used to do to us, But I try to pass the music talent to the kids, but I allow them to
make the choice themselves.
Make the choice they want. Yeah.
Now, you did Nashville. That was a first on-the-road experience. And then coming back home several years later, your entire career has been consumed at working locally as well as regionally, some of the best. Talk to us a little bit about some of the persons that you've worked with, not only locally, but regionally as well.
Well, I worked with Marshall Montano. I produced for Marshall Montano. And that's actually the song I produced for him, got Groovy Soak of the Year. It was in 2010, a song called Thiefin. Produced many tracks for Clement Peter. A lot of the local artists, most of the local artists have done some form production for them. Whether it's Vibe, Showtime, Extreme, Tino, Ritical, Sister Joyce, Madanile, Pumpa. A lot of artists from the Virgin Islands and beyond the region.
Okay. And what has that been like for you, just always constantly going and working with a variety of different talents and personalities. What was that experience? What is that experience like?
Well, it's interesting because, I mean, after a while, I had to open up my own avenues. And I think as an ambitious artist, mm-hmm. you have to find your own way. If nobody's going to say, hey, here's an opportunity to produce to this person, you find your own way and your own click. Mm-hmm. After a while, you get that reputation. People start to hear about you and you start to get calls from important people for doing projects. It's really surprising because by the time you work with certain artists, you realize that they already have a certain amount of respect for you. Mm-hmm. So they allow you to authorize the production, you know? You get that respect just by being pure to the art, being true to the art. I mean, you obviously have to be talented from the get-go.
You have a lot of freedom after a while.
Yes, yes.
Wonderful. We are going to talk about something that I think is very fascinating, the art of competition.
Okay.
Competitions are something that's very popular, not only locally, but regionally. And I think many persons don't take it seriously.
Okay.
You have had the opportunity to work, whether it's behind the scenes mm-hmm. or in front of the camera when it comes to local and regional competitions.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at competitions, whether it's Groovy Soca, Monarch, Calypso Show, mm-hmm. what do you think young artists need to understand most about competing?
Okay. I think that competition is always going to be there. I think people need to try to work on your own craft.
Okay.
Try to get good at it. You put your passion into it. You work at your craft. Competition, you use it as I went into the Calypso Show 2015. That was the first time I competed. And my goal wasn't even to win. My goal was just to be good and to be the best I can. And sometimes winning is not everything. Sometimes it's just getting your best out there. And even, you know, even in big situations, you're seeing where maybe somebody win American Idol, but the guy who came second runner-up is the one who got the deal.
Correct.
So sometimes winning, not it's always getting a trophy, but just putting your best performance out there and doing it good.
Understood.
Yeah.
Do you think that persons sometimes don't take the competition aspect seriously enough? And by that, I mean, it's more of, okay, well, let me compete. I could probably win a prize or... You're looking at the prize money. But I don't think, and maybe you disagree, when it comes to musical talent, not only locally, but regionally as well, we need to perhaps understand the magnitude of stepping on a stage and how far that can take us. Do you think persons who are in the industry, particularly young men, understand that aspect of it?
I a lot of times I think not, because we try to package the 2-week version instead of the 2-month version. Like, if somebody calls me, let's say to be in a band,
mm-hmm.
I'm more excited if they tell me we're going to practice and come out next year than next week. Because I think preparation is the most rewarding part, the part that counts the most, mm-hmm. you know? A lot of us are more too anxious to go on stage in the first month that we've learned our craft instead of next year.
I understand.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Sometimes when you produce, like you're working on a song, sometimes it's good to work on a song and rest it down and listen back to it a couple more times instead of working on a song to release next week. And a lot of times we get subject to that and just doing it now to put it out now, you know, so our concepts are very immediate.
Very rushed.
Yeah.
Understand completely.
Yeah.
Viewers, we're having a wonderful conversation and we have so much in store for you. We're going to take a quick commercial break. You're watching The Art of a Distinguished Gentleman. Viewers, welcome back. You're watching The Art of a Distinguished Gentleman. We're chatting up with the one and only Marcus Mark of Virgin Gorda, musical genius, musician, producer, engineer. He's worked with some of the most talented people, not only locally, but regionally as well. Marcus, let's touch on the production and engineering aspect of music. We covered being on stage and having that presence and what it takes, but how important is it to have just as much of a talented producer or engineering personnel behind the scenes to make sure that the sound coming out is top notch. Tell us about that.
Well, okay. Some of us have the talent to produce stuff, like myself. But there are other people who sometimes specialize in other aspects that we feel we can wing. I think that sometimes we cheat our product by trying to do everything ourselves. Sometimes we need an outside help. Sometimes you need somebody that specializes in that one little field that's not your niche.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's good to step outside of your project and say, okay, I've done my part. Let me put it in this person's hands to do that part of the project, like mixing and other things that we can do ourselves. Even in like advertising or promoting or our social media page, sometimes we might need that outside help. Sometimes it's good to be receptive to ideas and people helping your career. Sometimes it's good to reach out to other people who know more about the little, smaller fields in the area.
Understood.
Of them.
Great. You have had a tremendous career. As you look back on the successes and maybe some failures as well, what encouragement would you give to young, aspiring artists, musicians, producers, especially at this very unique time in our history? The global pandemic that is COVID-19 has essentially changed the way we interact with people. Going on a stage and performing seems almost like, unfortunately, a thing that's on the side. So we see where virtually persons have been able to, you know, be creative. Like, for example, the Versus Battles,
right.
The one and only Swiss Beats.
Right.
And we see where persons have uniquely come together to showcase their talent. What encouragement would you give to young persons in this day and age who are aspiring to be best they could be musically?
I find it's a good thing to try to utilize. I utilize the pandemic as time off to do stuff that I can't do when busy time is there. I was excited about, it sounds wrong, but I was excited about that time off to be able to go back home and changed certain things I've been doing to better it.
So you weren't too mad at the lockdown?
No, I wasn't.
Okay, okay.
I got a lot of productive stuff done.
Okay.
So I was happy to change up and renew stuff so I could come out. You know, so sometimes it's good to use the opportunity to, you know, find a positive about it. The pandemic and stuff and people doing Zoom and stuff.
Yeah.
We found creative ways to get to the audiences. And there's even Cash App where people could profit from it. So,
of course,
use creative ways to make it work for you, or ask somebody if, you know, find out about creative ways to make it work for you. Now, I find that it's nice to get yourself a nice clique of people who have the same goals as you, because you can't do it all by yourself. You get a little crew of two or three people and you guys work together and you work on your project, whether it's a song or something, and you get it together and, you know, this is a good time to get stuff done. I think I've worked on about like two or three different projects
in the
pandemic. I got a little rhythm there out there. I did a song for Pascal. I have some other projects out there. I'm working on a full album for a guy in Miami right now. So it's giving me the time to do positive stuff.
Awesome. Commendable.
Yeah.
I want to talk a little bit about criticism.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to the music industry, whether it's a person's on the stage or behind the scenes, criticism is quite a heavy part of the industry.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that our younger generation of persons, whether it be in the music industry or otherwise, have somewhat of a difficult time receiving healthy criticism.
Mm-hmm.
Speak to the capabilities of any good artist, and you could, based on your personal experience, how important is it for, whether it's a rookie or a seasoned musician or artist, how important is being able to take healthy criticism in this particular industry?
Well, it's very important because a lot of times we get so intense with our product that, you know, sometimes you might not realize the limitations or what's keeping them back. And the criticisms, I mean, even though it doesn't sound good to our ear, sometimes we need to sit back and listen to it. People are, I mean, I know we all talk about haters out there, but even in the hate, you got to listen through, sift through.
Yes.
And try to, because I, at the end of the day, I want even you that hates my product to care, that you can't resist it because it's so good. So you take that energy and fuel it and try to make your product better, because we all in the best at our craft. We always got to get better. So it's good to take that criticism, make that anger, take it back into your product and try to get it better.
Okay. I've heard you sing many times. I've been honored to sit and enjoy your music. I've heard you sing soca, reggae, rock and roll, jazz. Do you have a favorite genre of music? I've even heard you sing country, which is my ultimate favorite. I love country music. Do you have a favorite genre of music?
Man, if I tell, I'd be embarrassed to tell you my favorite.
Tell me. Yeah,
my favorite genre of music is rock music.
Like, I figured.
I love Van Halen. I love heavy metal stuff because it's been based around live music. I mean, I love R&B, but we tend to do a lot of sequencing and tricks and that. But rock has been like a very pure music and very energetic, and I love rock music. That's my favorite genre.
Okay.
I mean, I love all genres. I appreciate, but rock is my passion.
Okay.
Yeah.
When you get the time or when you have to write, what is your writing process like?
I love writing, but I like writing to make sense to any ear. That's important to me, that it's, you know, it has a little story that can relate to any ear. So even if you're not, let's say I'm talking about a BVI, you're not from the BVI.
Right.
It still has to be, you know, your ear still has to be able to, it has to relate to your ear. So I think writing, you know, sometimes we need to be a little proper with our writing. I like my writing to make sense from the start to the end. I like it to all make sense. Even if you're in the middle of the song, it has sense to the topic.
Okay.
Yeah.
2020. It's been a tough year for many.
Yeah.
Who did you listen to as we approach the end of 2020? Who were some of the musical geniuses that you listened to throughout this year? Who was on your playlist?
I have Van Halen. I've been listening to Van Halen. Actually, lately, yeah, I mean, he passed away. I've been listening to some Phil Collins lately.
That's before my time.
Oh, it's Wind and Fire is my favorite band.
Yes, good
and
stuff.
You guys are, you know, you young kids might know about that stuff.
I know Wind and Fire very well.
Yeah. I was in all good problem and condition. I was just listening to a band called Rush, which you guys might know. Rush.
Four of them.
A band from Toronto, a rock band. I listen to a lot of rock stuff.
Okay. Why rock and roll? Why does that gravitate to you so much?
And if anybody who knows me as a musician would hear that I love guitar. Even playing keyboard, you'd hear that I'm guitar influenced. So I love guitar-driven music. And rock is about guitar. So I don't have to tell you.
Yeah, it's in you.
My dad was a guitarist, so I'm driven to that guitar first type of music.
Okay. Now, in hindsight, I think hindsight is 2020. After all that you've been able to accomplish, thankfully, within your music career, is there anything when you look at the future and you consider what might be left undone? It's all said and done, what do you want people to understand about Mac or Smack and the legacy that is music?
Well, I'm willing to share my knowledge. Once you want the knowledge to share, because I've had a lot of experiences all around the world. I would like to get a hand in helping people if they want to get their music together or they want to form their band. I think I'm very forced in that field. And I would like to help if somebody wants to get help.
Okay. You're willing to pass on that knowledge.
Yes, really, really very, skilled. Very much.
I must commend you on that, because we have a lot of persons who are very talented in various disciplines. On the older side, I must say, it seems oftentimes that persons are a little bit hesitant in passing on that knowledge.
True.
They're good, but they hold on to it. So I'm happy to hear that you are willing to literally sit down with anyone, engage anyone musically who would like to have that advice. I appreciate you so much for your candid conversation as it pertains to music. And really, I think essentially I must commend you for, and your siblings, for continuing the mantra of music. Morris Mark, your late father, did a tremendous job of being authentically great. To some, a simple guy, reserved or quiet, but he absolutely solidified his place in not only Virgin Islands history, globally as well. And I think, perhaps without even knowing it, he did a really, really tremendous job of passing that on to you and your siblings. Michael, thank you so much for stopping by the Art of a Distinguished Gentleman. We're proud of you. Congratulations on all the tremendous work that you've been doing, and we look forward to remarkable stuff.
Thank you.
You're most welcome. Viewers, that's all the time we have.